Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play.
This is it. This is it. It's hour zero for Joe Lowe and Dibs. This is the last time we will all be speaking to one another before the NFC Championship game Sunday at 3:40 p.m. Levi's Stadium. The Niners, 7.5-point favorites over the Green Bay Packers. This is it. We got 4 hours to discuss this game, and then we will be exiting stage left. We'll probably talk maybe via text and all this other stuff over the weekend, but not to the masses, not to the billions. This is it. I'm fired up, but I'm also on edge. And I didn't have a whole lot of coffee. Look at that. A 5 out of the gate.
The theme song's not even done.
This is unacceptable.
I got 5 on
Dibs,
it.
He said, and this is it. Remember Michael when he was getting ready to go on his cruise? This
great one.
This is the last time that we'll be here. No more rehearsal. Today's the last day we're on air. It's time to give the people what they want. Give them a great show because it's game time. No more. The hay's in the barn. Just like the team's not playing, practicing no more after the day, really. It's just walk through. That's all we got left. It's time to go.
The frost is off the pumpkin and the hay's in the barn. James Taylor once opined. And you're right, Lo. All the work has been done. There's nothing left to do but wait until kick 3:40 local time. The ball will be on the tee and it'll be 60 minutes to decide who goes to Miami.
Who goes?
Green Bay or San Francisco?
Send me, I'll go.
Congratulations on the fastest flag in radio show history. Less than 90.
It was less than 90. I wanted
you're
to
all
be
amped up, though, like the Niners are going to be. You're all amped up. There might be a quick false start, and you look around and it's like, sorry, guys, I'm just, you know, I'm a little amped up here.
I could see that happening. It's okay. It's okay. Because we've got 60 minutes. I got 4 hours.
Yeah. Could be offsides on the kickoff or, you know, delay a game on the kickoff for crying out loud, which you almost never see.
Football Friday brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart, play it Oaks. And Xfinity, massive lineup for you today. Adam Kaplan in an hour with all the injuries and everything you need to know as we get set for the NFC Championship game. Carmen Policy, good friend of the program, former president and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers. He's in 2 hours at 8 o'clock. Joe Buck. Such a great name, the way it rolls off the tongue. Joe Buck. Also, you got to be careful with that name, too. Got to really emphasize the B in order to appease the FCC. Joe Buck at 8:30 today. And Mike Holmgren, a.k.a. The Big Show, he's at 9:30. Man, we got a lot to get to. I want to get to baseball. Not yet. I don't want to start with baseball.
Me
the NFC Championship game.
I.
Baseball's next.
My God.
Baseball. I'm gonna save it. Just yes. Baseball. Stop baseballing. Stop baseballing baseball. Stop
new,
being.
Got a new button.
Yeah. It's my new buzzer. I'm stealing signs now, and I've got electronic signals from the back. Our producer can signal me as to whether or not we need to change topics with a little simple buzzer. We got it working.
We'll get to that, but. All right, so take me through it. One thing I noticed today when I was going through some stats and trends, I'm not buying into a lot of it, but I think it's an interesting note. And since you played into the answer to one of these, I wanted to come right to you on it. The Packers are going to be the fourth team in NFL history to win at least 13 games during the regular season and then find themselves as at least a touchdown underdog in the conference championship game. So this is only the fourth time we've seen this. Four times in which a team's won at least 13 games and then made it to the conference championship game only to find out that they were a underdog of 7 or more points. you were one of those dogs. Do you remember what game it was?
Absolutely. Tennessee Titans.
And 1999.
And I told you, we went over there and made it three times. We got them a three-peat. Absolutely. Went to Jacksonville and said, you know what? We're coming. Hey, diddle, diddle, hello. Neil's coming right up the middle. I'm going to knock some heads out. Absolutely. Remember it vividly, Joe. Like yesterday, they were barking loud the whole week. We got this.
Even though they had lost twice to you during the regular season.
But when someone, you don't hear anything out of San Francisco. All you hear right now is, hey, it's a different team, but both teams are in better places. Hey, we got to throw that game out. Sometimes you bark so loud, your bite's not vicious. We understood why they were talking. We, as the Titans, we were like, okay, they're doing a lot of talking. Why? They're giving themselves false hope and also a sense of pride. When you talk yourself in it. Speak life. So they were trying to speak life. Oh, we had two bad games. We know what to do. We got quick fix the problems. No, you didn't. And we knew if we played our game and run the ball, play action, do those things, keep it easy, they were trying to have the big score game, and we could get on them and jump on them and squeeze the life out of them. And when you have that mentality, you don't worry about what they do. You don't worry about anything they're saying. It's all noise. When you know you're better and everyone's committed and together in unity, you're just fine. And that's what I like about the San Francisco 49ers.
I like that. So your Titans were 13 or more wins during the regular season and then got to the championship game, conference championship game, and found yourselves as a touchdown or greater underdog. You won. It happened in 98 with the Falcons. They won. And it happened in 1990 with the Giants. They won. A little bit daunting knowing that the Packers are the fourth team in NFL history to win at least 13 games during the regular season, make it to the conference championship game, find themselves as an underdog of a touchdown or more, knowing that history is always on that team's side, not just covering the spread. They've won all three outright.
And that's fascinating. And you think about that year, 1999, when Jacksonville's losses were to Tennessee. No one else could beat them. And so you look at this Green Bay situation, and it's a little bit different because it hasn't been the same level of dominance outside of the one matchup where, you know, it seemed like you guys had their number in that year. The first game, I was just looking really close, and then the next two games were outright boatings. So that was one of those matchup situations, and I don't quite see it in this particular case where, you know, Green Bay and the Niners, when they played, the Niners just, they dominated Green Bay.
And I think the biggest thing, too, when you look at what we knew we had, they couldn't stop Eddie George, but we could stop Freddie T. And Freddie T was a hell of a running back.
Man, those are two physical running backs in that game. Fred Taylor and Eddie George.
Freddie Taylor, unbelievable.
University of Florida.
Yes, you love some Florida, boy.
Big Gators fan, yeah.
That trip you did when you were a kid, I always remember you tell that story.
You roll up as a 12-year-old on a Friday night in Gainesville, and it's nothing but tan, blonde dimes running around. It's like, what is this? I was from Allentown, PA. I didn't know what a tan, blonde dime was.
Every time you tell that story, I'm like, I don't know this dude, that Ford, it's crazy. There's a cause and effect. It's all a correlation. God, something happened, and now years later, because of that effect, that's unbelievable.
Always a Gators fan.
It's crazy. So Freddie T, and we knew we can stop Freddie T. And when you have that, just like when you look at the Niners, if this team understands what they have to stop, and we believe they can, and that's the run game, think the Niners collectively have a better run game.
What's it like in the locker room this week? Because pictures are surfacing. Because it's the NFC Championship game, the national media has descended upon the locker room. So the local guys, friends of ours, have been talking and tweeting about how the media scrums are now 5 and 6 and 7 times bigger. And I'm sure you notice this as well.
Oh, yeah.
The further you get, the bigger the media scrum. How do you just work your way through that? I'm not talking physically. How do you navigate that throughout the course of the week? Because I'd imagine there are a lot of people asking to talk to you. There are a lot more distractions as the magnitude of game increases.
Well, I think history has a way of repeating itself. If you don't alter your course, things are going to happen. So when I say that, I'm talking about you saying, how do you stay focused? How do you do when you know the media, more people there, they want your time, they want to get in your head, they want to know what you're talking about. I think the Kyle Shanahan now, he's listening on the way, him and John Lynch and the rest of the players, they're getting in early, they're listening to the show. They know what's at stake. You don't think the Kyle Shanahan and those guys are saying, here's three teams. I can give you four examples. And Kyle Shanahan, and I was one of those teams, that we knew that we were underdogs. No one gave us a chance. Look at the Titans. And he can go through and show them because why? Because teams weren't ready to play. I think those are the things, Joe, that has to be hammered over the head to this team. Guys, get ready to play because this is going to be a different team. If you go into this game thinking the Minnesota Vikings is going, I mean, if you go into this game thinking that they're just going to come in here and lay down and Aaron Rodgers is going to let this team come in here, Green Bay, and just, okay, let them motorboat. That is not going to happen. If we do that, we will be in a dogfight and we will lose this game. Kyle Shanahan is preaching that message. That's how, Joe, with all the people there, everything around you, you have to stay in your moment and understand what's at stake.
Love it. Love it. And that's where veterans like Richard Sherman can really pay dividends by talking to the young guys and explaining what this process is like. We got a lot cooking on today's show. Like I said, Adam Kaplan at 7, Carmen Policy at 8, Joe Buck at 8:30, Mike Holmgren at 9:30. But the question of the day, Stephen Langford, what's up with the Warriors?
What's up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceremony Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. The Warriors had the now second-place Denver Nuggets in overtime, but there's never much love when we go OT as they fell short 134-131. Alec Burks with an efficient night off the bench, scoring 25 points on 14 shots. Damian Lee with 21 points of his own. They have the day off today and are back for their third straight home game tomorrow evening against the Orlando Magic. Guys?
That's a nice Drake reference there. Real strong.
Thank you.
Thank you, nice guy. For those heading to the Orlando game Saturday, get at us on social. A lot of the 95.7 The Game crew will be there. Probably a bit disheveled. Let me just say it like that. It would probably be a bit disheveled, but if you're going to the game, hit us up. We'd love to say hello. Get organized. Big day for the NFC Championship. We're 2 days away, but the baseball scandal has taken another turn. And we had said yesterday to ourselves, you know what? We're putting baseball on the back burner. We got to get ready for football. Up until this story broke. And then you've got Twitter sleuths who are leaking stories who may or may not be family members of some of the people who have been, quote, wronged. This thing gets weirder and weirder by the minute. We're back with that next here on 95.7 The Game. Adam Kaplan coming up in 43 minutes at 7 o'clock. Carmen Policy at 8. Joe Buck at 8:30. Mike Holmgren at 9:30. And for those of you who may have questions for Joe Buck, we're taking them on social media at Joe Lowe and Dibs. We'll consider them. Doesn't mean we're going to ask them. We'll consider them, right? We have a very thorough and rigorous process for content, its creation, and then how it gets onto the air. It has to go through several filters and several channels. We don't just come on air and shotgun stuff all over the place. So ask your questions, and we'll dig into them. And if it's, why does Joe Buck hate the Giants, it will not be making it on the air. Joe Buck does not hate the Giants.
No, and if it's a question like, why does Joe Buck suck so bad, go ahead and save your keystrokes and realize that this is a Joe Buck-friendly zone. We appreciate how good he is at what he does, and I personally love his super, super Sahara Desert dry humor, and hopefully some of that will come out as well.
All right, so we were planning to come in today and go full football. That's the plan. The NFC Championship game is just over 48 hours away. But when Major League Baseball goes full Major League Baseball, you have to address it. So yesterday, the first piece of news, the Mets and manager Carlos Beltran have decided to part ways. I guess you could call Beltran the manager. He didn't actually manage any games. They announced him as manager on November 4th of 2019, which was just a couple months ago. But because he was a former Astro linked to the cheating scandal out of Houston, the Mets decided to move on. So if you're scoring at home, the Astros have dismissed their general manager, Jeff Lunau, their manager, A.J. Hinch. As a result, the Red Sox, who had hired Alex Cora, who was with the Astros during the cheating scandal, they dismissed him. And now the Mets with Carlos Beltran have dismissed him. We are less than a month from pitchers and catchers, and three teams don't have a skipper. I know a guy with three World Series rings who wants to manage and could be a great face to come off one of these scandals, just throwing that out there. But that's for another conversation. Then the story gets weirder. There's a Twitter account out there which is claiming to belong to Carlos Beltran's niece. Now, generally, this type of thing would never make it onto the air. In fact, ESPN's Marley Rivera has a report saying the account does not belong to a member of Beltran's family. The thing is, this account has been getting a lot of things right before the news breaks. For example, this account had Beltran going to the Mets as the manager a day before anyone else had it. So there's some validity to this account, which has now gone private. Thing is, this account has been tweeting that Astros second baseman Jose Altuve and third baseman Alex Bregman, quote, wore devices that buzzed on their inside right shoulders from the hallway video guy. So essentially, they're filming the signals, and when they see the signal and the guy in the hallway of the dugout is watching it on the screen, he hits a buzzer that is apparently attached to Altuve's shoulder and Bregman's shoulder when they're batting, and then they feel the buzz, and it indicates, I guess, fastball or whatever may be coming. Now, some might think this is crazy, but there's a highlight of Altuve hitting a series-clinching home run at home against the New York Yankees, Game 6 this past year in the ALCS. As he's coming down from third, he's pointing to all the guys who are gathered at the plate, and he's going, no, 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 don't rip my jersey off, don't rip my jersey off. He's doing this whole thing. He's waving at them. No, it's very obvious as he's running to home, he does not want his jersey off. Ken Rosenthal, do we have the audio of this? Ken Rosenthal interviewed Altuve after the game and asked him about this specifically. Listen to this.
You asked the teammates not to tear your shirt. Why?
What's that?
Did you ask your teammates not to tear your shirt? Why was that?
I don't know. I'm too shy. Last time they did that, I got in trouble with my wife.
Got in trouble with his wife.
Oh, my God.
The video not only shows him running home telling them don't rip his shirt off, but after a quick scrum, he runs into the dugout and comes back out with a league championship T-shirt on. Mm. So he quickly gets out of the jersey, puts the T-shirt on, comes out, celebrates, and then discusses the situation with Ken Rosenthal. There are pictures surfacing of Josh Reddick, former Oakland A, with his jersey off after a game doing an interview with a wire running up his arm that is medical tape that you guys use to tape your ankles and stuff that's taped across
his
shoulder.
I saw that. How could you put on a that's just silly. You just let everyone know, yeah, here it is. Here's this wire. Oh, this is a stim machine. Oh, I got a stim. It's a stim for my shoulder. Oh, it's this electrical pulse going to my shoulder.
Yeah, I was just peeing too. We're all just peeing.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. When you see this stuff happen, you look at it and you're like, do you really think Tuve is smart enough? Do you really think that he would put this on if this hasn't been a calculated decision? That's the thing that people, that's why this thing, like you said several days ago, Joe, that this thing is bigger than steroids and dibs. Now you think you're saying this possibly could be. When you think about how this thing is now shaping up, now you're seeing more stuff come out. This isn't even close, because you got to realize steroids wasn't necessarily illegal. It wasn't illegal for players to take. It was, you know, just something you didn't do. So now you know that this is, you don't do. Now management, everything's behind this. This is not going to end well for baseball. This is something that was done collectively, and everyone knew. You saw him knew not to tear his jersey. Why? Because you think
he's shy, he said.
You think,
and I love that in the
team,
answer where he says, you know, he's asked the question. He says, oh, I don't know. And then he clicks in and he does know. All of a sudden, oh, it's because I'm shy and my wife got mad at me last time. And when Rosenthal asks the question, he goes, say what?
And then he had to think about it.
Yeah, I don't think he knew that question was coming, but clearly, and when have we ever seen a player say, no, 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 don't tear my jersey, which, by the way, has become one of baseball's oddest celebrations. The guy has a heroic moment, so we're going to douse him, we're going to throw sunflower seeds at him, we're going to rip his clothes off. Okay, baseball, you do you.
Jose Altuve in the 2017 Major League Baseball playoffs, 18 games. 9 at home, 9 on the road. Batting average on the road, 143. Batting average at home, 472. Home runs on the road, 1. Home runs at home, 6. RBIs on the road, 2. RBIs at home, 12. OPS at home, 497. OPS at home, excuse me, that was OPS on the road, 497. OPS at home, 1.541. Remember, they weren't videotaping on the road, just at home.
Hmm.
That is insane. And by the way, through all of this, how is it with Major League Baseball, we spend so much time worried about the unwritten rules? It seems like we forgot about the written rules. Seems like the written rules just got thrown out the window. You pimp a home run, it's a huge problem for everyone.
Right.
You hook up yourself to a pregnancy simulator, like me, and you're getting signals on fastballs, and you're hitting home runs and cheating the game, and it's like, you know, we didn't find any evidence of that.
Yeah. We got to bring Goo in here and back it, because that's what the other day, he's like, oh, I can't stand people banging, who cares? I'm like, dude, You don't understand. You played in a, you played high school, and that's what I was talking about. When you're a pro and you got that launch angle, and now you now we've been getting more details, more than just banging. You're getting an electric shock and knowing where the that's even way more absurd. So without a doubt, this is a competitive
and
edge.
And I love MLB saying, yeah, you know, we've done the investigation. We found no evidence about any of these devices being used. No, MLB.
They have to.
You don't get to just put it to bed like that, because what happens today or tomorrow when the next part of the story comes out, when another player says, yeah, yeah, they were using electronic devices, and I'll tell you exactly how they did it. And then MLB will have to come out and say, well, our thorough investigation, which lasted about 2 days, and it was a 9-page report, by the way. Sorry, MLB, you don't get to tuck this into bed so quick.
Trevor Bauer already came out and said he had heard stuff like this. He pitched for the Indians, so he faced Houston plenty of times. And MLB, what kind of investigation are you doing if random Twitter accounts linked to family members of people who have been dismissed and Reddit psychopaths are coming up with more details and information than this? That Reddick photo, like, you couldn't come up with that? That's a screenshot.
Right.
Some guy on his couch came up with that.
Yeah.
But this is incredible.
And players talk, Joe. These players talk to one another.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Bay Alarm. We're going to let this roll for another segment. So if you want to jump in, 888-957-9570. We'd love to hear from you. Chilton Auto Body text line as well, 95795. You want to give us a call, 888-957-9570. In light of this, you got to take away the 2017 World Series, right? You cannot continue to be the World Series champions with this sort of cheating scandal, right? Your business is unique. Whether you have one location or a dozen, a retail space, office, or restaurant, Bay Alarm has a security system that meets your specific needs. Bay Alarm, what have you got to lose? Tune into your boys, Joe Lo and Dibs, and catch all the latest Niner news and interviews and updates. Adam Kaplan in half an hour at 7 o'clock. Carmen Policy at 8. Joe Buck, 2 hours from now at 8:30, Mike Holmgren, the big show at 9:30. And it is a big show today, indeed, as we get set for the NFC Championship game Sunday, 3:40 p.m. local at Levi Stadium. More on that in a bit, but we have to get into and have to touch on this scandal coming out of Major League Baseball. The latest, for those of you who are not caught up, Carlos Beltran and the Mets have parted ways. Beltran never even managed a game for the Mets. He was just hired on November 4th. He's out, due to his ties to the Houston Astros. And then the story coming out and the photos and the videos and what appears to be just an overwhelming amount of damning evidence that Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman of the Astros were wearing devices under their jerseys that buzzed their shoulder from an individual that was in the hallway next to the dugout watching on the video feed of the cameras they had set up with the signal. So if he saw the signal on the video feed, he knew a fastball was coming. They buzz Altuve. Altuve knows what's coming, and then he goes ahead and takes advantage of the situation. We got the numbers right here. 9 home games, 9 road games during the 2017 MLB playoffs. Altuve hit .472 at home where they had this equipment set up, .143 on the road. 6 homers at home, 1 on the road, 12 RBIs at home, 2 on the road. That is incredible. Those are the most dramatic splits I've ever seen in my life.
Very dramatic. And when you think about the player that Jose Altuve is, he's a great player. I remember watching him in single A, and you could see that he had an incredible amount of talent. But normally when you have a player that talented facing the same team and facing the same pitchers of the same caliber in the postseason, the splits would be much more equal, you know, and ballpark factors might play into it because Houston's a bandbox, etc. But to have it be that dramatic, for him to have that many more home runs at home and to hit that walk-off home run and to perform and act the way he did coming down from third base, that's all the evidence I need to see.
What do you do with this? Do you strip him of the 2017 World Series? If you can find a way to prove that they were in fact using these wearables, not to confuse with edibles. That's the word we're using
like
now,
that.
Wearables.
Like
if they were using these wearables in conjunction with the banging and the stealing of the signs and everything else, do you strip them of the World Series?
You know what? I think you should. Will they do it? I don't know, Joe, because you keep going down this dark hole. How much more do you want to find out? How much more? You look at a guy now, and I think it's even more prevalent than ever. One individual won a national championship, and they took that from Reggie Bush, took it away. That year never existed for a guy who just took money. It had nothing to do with any outcomes, any type of game. It was just money. And the NCAA stripped that team of a national title, stripped them of their record because an individual took money for himself. Has nothing to do with the outcome of the game. Now you're talking about pro athletes that are taking and getting signals and have a buzzer, pots and pans being banged. You have to look at this thing. I think baseball did they opened up Pandora box. They should have just kept it quiet and either said, we're going to do nothing. Don't fire these managers, because now, since you did this, now what same dad told me, he said, when you get married, you don't know this, son, the same passion a woman brings in a relationship, the same passion she's going to take out. Meaning, just like you brought that passion, how much they love winning a title, and now you're burning them down, talking about, oh, this is the guys. Now heads are going to roll. You don't think they're going to call out everyone else?
A lot of finger pointing.
Exactly. Because now it's not just me. It's not just me. Guys' reputation. Guys are going to say, hey, management made me do this. Now you're going to have them. Who's doing this from other teams? I'm telling you, this now, that's why baseball said, shut up, told everyone to be quiet, because they know it was much more to come.
Well, they can't tell them to be quiet anymore. Altuve actually released a statement saying, quote, I have never worn an electronic device in my performance as a major league player. That was part of the statement. And by the way, that device technically was probably not electronic if it's battery operated. So there's a loophole in his statement. But, you know, to your point about they should have tried to keep this quiet, they couldn't, because A's pitcher Mike Fiers was the one who became the whistleblower and said it was the banging of trash cans and the cheating that was going on. And so once Pandora's box then? Is
but,
open.
But where was he at when it was going on? See, this is the thing. So now you got to, it's easy to be a soldier when there's no war going on. When now you was in the mix of it, you had a chance to do it. So what part are you taking? And now as Altuve, do you take his MVP? Do you take that? Do you strip that and say he was the MVP of that league?
I think he's headed. He's going to be headed for a big time punishment here.
He's banned.
Big time. You can't kick Pete Rose out for gambling on baseball games as a manager and then let this guy blatantly cheat like this and then say, 20 games. 20 games is nothing.
No, you got to give him the Mitch and Jersey treatment.
Banning for life?
You banned?
But here's the thing, though. Is it just him?
They banned me.
That's why. That's why you can't.
You want the splits?
Am I
Someone on the Chilton Auto Body text line was asking for this. And by the way, all the good stuff today brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. Here you go. 2017, the home road hitting splits for the Houston Astros. Cheating at home, not cheating on the road. At home, 8-1. On the road, 3-6. Runs per game. At home, 5.7. On the road, 3.0. Average. Batting average as a team at home, 273. On the road, 208. Home runs at home, 18. Home runs on the road, 9. Slugging, 519 at home, 347 on the road. Oh, by the way, when you're playing on the road, you're batting in the top of the ninth. You're batting at the top of the ninth. They were winning some of these games where they didn't bat in the ninth. So you take some of those opportunities off the table, and they were still smoking people. Still smoking them. I'll tell you the smart move here, and it's not going to happen, but if you're Major League Baseball, you do whatever it takes to get Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame in the next week so that everyone stops paying attention to this. That's what happens. Next week, hey, by the way, here's the result of the votes. Barry Bonds is in, ladies and gentlemen. And everyone shifts their ire so that you can work your way towards pitchers and catchers in a few weeks, and people begin to distance themselves from this. You do not want to start the Major League Baseball season with this as the number one story. And that is the current direction things are trending. Tim, San Jose. Tim, thanks for the phone call. Your thoughts on this scandal out of Houston?
Hey, yeah, I just had actually a question. Can an outside, like, let's say it's the Yankees or the Dodgers, felt like they were cheated out of that World Series, can they hire an outside company, like, to investigate it to see if there was a scandal, if Major League Baseball wouldn't do it?
I'm sure you could try, but it would be very difficult to get any sort of access from anyone whatsoever. Like, baseball's governing body can come down and at least force people to sit in rooms and talk. Now, they can lie and do whatever they want, but an outsider is just going to probably get the old Heisman Trophy stiff arm and be kept at bay. That would be my thought
there. Well, it just depends on how high you want to go, because baseball has their coveted antitrust exemption, which, you went to law school, you understand it a lot more.
The corporate veil can't pierce.
Piercing the corporate veil.
Unless
you.
Well, if the Senate gets involved,
that's what you'd have to do.
If you get like,
yeah, those guys got nothing on their plate right now.
They got nothing going on. Get Nancy Pelosi on the phone. Yeah. See if she's got some free time.
Hey, Nats.
Maybe if you're an assemblyman from the Dodgers district and you're a Dodger fan and you're outraged, you could at least try to shake the saber and rattle the saber rather and see what you might be able to spring free. So this story, as much as MLB wants to say we released our 9-page report and this investigation, we found no wrongdoing. There's a lot of things that can still and probably still will go on.
Steven in Oakland. Steven, thanks for the phone call. Your thoughts on what's taking place in Houston right now?
Hey, guys. Strip everything. The MVPs, the titles. I mean, Altuve's game was completely predicated on a high batting average like no other player. And him being able to know which pitches were coming in corresponds to a high batting average. And I want to say another thing. There's so many players that were affected by Houston. You look at Yu Darvish on the Dodgers. I mean, they wrote him out of town because they said he was tipping pitches. You know, Clayton Kershaw. So I say the Houston thing has repercussions far beyond just them winning. It's time to bring Pete Rose, Barry. You know, Pete Rose was just, he knew his team was going to win, so he got a little action on the side. These guys are completely changing the complexity of the game. That's what I got to say.
I appreciate the phone call. I can't remember who the pitcher was. I want to say Alex Wood, but I'm not 100% positive, tweeted yesterday that if given the choice between pitching against a guy who was on PEDs or pitching against a guy who knew what pitches were coming via sign stealing, he would take the guy on PEDs every day of the week.
Absolutely.
At least that guy, he can try to fool him. Like, that's what it's all predicated on. You're thinking curveball, I'm throwing fastball. You're thinking changeup, I'm throwing fastball. You're thinking slider, I'm throwing curve. You know what I'm getting at here? Like, if they know what's coming, that is a huge strategic advantage. You're taking PEDs, yeah, you're going to be bigger, stronger, faster, but you still got to figure out what the guy's taking, what the guy's pitching. You tell me right now, you put me up there on PEDs, it's not going to change anything if I go against a major league pitcher. You at least tell me what's coming. You tell me a curveball is coming. I can at least sit back, not be afraid I'm going to get dinged by the thing, and probably try to put some good wood on it. I think I would have a better chance if you told me what was coming versus taking PEDs. What am I going to do on PEDs? Just show up 18 pounds heavier? I'm not even going to be ripped.
You still can't hit the splitter. Yeah, you're right, though. If you're all yoked up, you still, if it's a curveball and you're thinking fastball, you got no chance.
I'm dead.
The difference is, guys, these guys are pros. And you know what? I could take all the PEDs and watch signs and know what's coming. I'm not hitting it. I just know. Why? Because they're pros. And even if you knew it was coming, you still shouldn't be able to. But now, get a pro that knows baseball, that knows launch angles, that practices this, that knows what a curveball, and then, okay, I'm throwing a curve, and let him know where that curveball's going to be. He's going to hit that thing the majority of the time because he knows what it is, because he has been trained to do that. You don't get a guy in the Army and just say, okay, now go out, and you can definitely let him go out to war because he knows, but go get a regular guy off the street and say, oh, now go capture that. They don't know. Now, if you know the secrets to it, it doesn't matter. These guys are pros. When you know what pitch is coming, it's totally different than PEDs. It is a huge advantage. I know where this guy is coming. I'm going to usually win, Joe.
Good news and bad news for the Niners. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Altuve running from third base home on his home run trot. Game 6 of this year's American League Championship Series. He hits the home run that wins the game and wins the series. As he's coming down from third, he's immediately going, no, 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 signaling all the guys that are waiting for him, don't rip my jersey off. No, 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 no. And he's you can see him. You can see the words coming out of his mouth. Don't tear my jersey off. Don't tear my jersey off. As soon as the celebration's over, he runs into the dugout, gets his jersey off, gets an League Championship Series t-shirt on, and then comes out and starts talking to everyone. There is so, so much foul play here. So much foul play. He says he never did anything. Well, okay, well, why did you not? Ken Rosenthal, can we play that again before we go to the billions? Ken Rosenthal asked him after the game, why were you telling your teammates not to rip your jersey off?
You asked the teammates not to tear your shirt. Why?
What's that?
Did you ask your teammates not to tear your shirt? Why was that?
I don't know. I'm too shy. Last time they did that, I got in trouble with my wife.
What's that?
Also, Rosenthal asking that question. Do you think he was on to something there?
Yeah.
You don't really hear questions like that in moments like that. And maybe Ken saw him signaling that as he was running home, but no one else caught that at the time.
Right.
Right? Something's up there. I think Rosenthal may have been on to something.
Without a doubt, I believe he was on to something, because you got to realize, when you're playing teams, you got guys in the locker room that are still homeboys, that are buddies, that say, man, what's some stuff going on? Really? You think so, dog? I still talk to the guys on other teams. You still talk to them. When it's that obvious, when someone is telling you those things that blatant, guys just can't keep that to themselves. It's too obvious. So when you seen that, can't ask him that because he's heard through the grapevine something's going on. Because you don't just come out like you said. Because if that happens to another guy on a team that you have nothing about, you're like, okay. You wouldn't even ask why you don't want to rip your jersey. You wouldn't ask that question. You're right, Joe. You would not ask that question. That's just like if right now or after I won, we lost the Super Bowl to the Rams, and it came out that they had a wire and they were still on our signs and knew exactly where we were running the ball and we only had 20 yards rush and you knew that it was a reason. You don't think guys at that moment after losing the title that year, the year before, you don't think the guys would be protesting, talking about that's my title, that's my Super Bowl. I'd be in the front of the line. You don't think coaching staff, players, organizations, towns would be like, dude, that we should be in the record book that we did it the right way. Without a doubt, that should be stripped. No question. When it's that egregious, no question.
To answer a question that's going around, how widespread do you think this is? People are trying to figure out how widespread is this? How many teams are involved in this? I'm going to give you an idea of how many teams are involved in this, okay? If an individual hits a home run, but he admires it too long, the opposing team is going to take an object that's like a rock and they're going to throw it at his head. And then both teams may fight each other over that because of the unwritten rules. That's what happens when a guy violates the unwritten rules. If people knew, and you know guys in Major League Baseball knew this was going on in Houston to some extent, if they're all staying quiet on it, there's a reason. Guy pimps a home run in a meaningless regular season game. They're all on the field fighting each other. They're literally on the field fighting each other if a guy pimps a home run. But if they steal your World Series, everyone stays quiet. Why? Because everyone in some way, shape, or form is doing it. That's what it's got to be. If a guy pimps a home run, think about that for a second.
You're right.
Guy pimps a home run and they come to blows. Harper versus Strickland, everyone's out there. Samardzija knocked Michael Morse out of MLB with that hit by accident when he ran into him. He gave him a concussion. They're all on the field brawling each other if someone violates the unwritten rules. Yet when something like this happens, everybody's quiet. I wonder why.
Yeah. It's because it's the tip of the iceberg. And I was talking to our producer earlier this morning about what tip of the iceberg actually means, because you look at an iceberg and it's like, wow, it's a pretty good looking iceberg. But it's just the tip, because under the water is something that's about 100 times bigger.
90% of the mass is under the water.
Yes, it's the rest of the iceberg. So you're right, Joe. This is a lot more widespread than we think.
You had to explain that to him?
I did.
You mean to tell me that if you were friggin' the pitcher and you knew that Tuve had that on, and he hit that home run, you wouldn't run up and rip his shirt off? I'm telling you, me, I'm just crazy or
that's
something.
Salt, son.
I don't care. I promise. If I knew undoubtedly that was going on, if I knew it unequivocally, and I knew that he was wired, and he hit a home run on me in that particular moment to end the game, I would have ran up there, and I would have ripped his shirt off, and I would have said, look at this. I'm telling you, it's no I don't think everyone, because I'm telling you right now, you mean to tell me that Madison Baumgartner knew that that dude had it and he hit a home run on Madison and he knew that that dude was wired? I'm telling you, he runs and takes his shirt off.
Baumgartner cut somebody. Baumgartner's got a hunting knife probably tucked on his shoulder that's coming out.
There's a lot of people. Yeah, like you said, here's the thing. If you knew, well, you didn't know me, but you seen how big and strong I was.
You're a bit old and round now.
Okay, if I was 20 years ago, whatever you want to say.
All right, that's fair.
And let's just say this. And you knew how big and strong I was on roids and everything else. and I was like, and you were at your house. And I came in. What could you do? What would you do?
This is quite the analogy.
Okay, honestly, are you sitting in your car?
I'd be scared.
Okay, now, if I'm coming, get ready to come to your house, come rob your house the same way. But you know that I'm coming. You don't care if I'm on steroids. I don't care how big and strong, but you know I don't have any weapons.
I got a bazooka waiting for you.
You better believe it. And you're going to bust me open. You mean, what's the difference?
Quite an analogy. But, okay. Happy 6:56 a.m. on a Friday.
I know exactly where you're going with this, but I think that.
But what's the difference?
The difference is I think Houston took it to a level that had been unseen. I think a lot of other teams were doing things of this nature, but they weren't doing it to this level, to where they were actually wearing electronic devices and getting buzzes. Other teams were probably using video surveillance to steal signs, but Houston took it to a level that nobody else knew about, and that's why they got to a level of success. Because I think other teams, and Mark Teixeira, former MLB player, talked this morning on a syndicated show about how they would have 45-minute-long meetings to talk about how they were going to go about stealing signs. Now, they weren't going to do it in the same way Houston did, but you're right. If
you know
the pitcher's aware of it, He's definitely, something's going
to
happen.
Let's go to the billions. Adam Kaplan's going to join us in 3 minutes. Phone lines are juiced on this. We got the NFC Championship on Sunday. We have never taken this many calls on anything, and from a lot of people we normally don't talk to. I'm just going to work my way down the board. Marlin in Oakland. Marlin, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. What should happen to the Astros?
Hey, man. Hey, thanks, guys. Happy Friday. I think the Astros should be stripped of their World Series title without a doubt. But I agree with Lowe, and I think Altuve should not be stripped of his individual MVP award, just because I think it sends the wrong message throughout baseball. You know, I just quickly want to say, I used to go to the games in 2014. My wife used to get really good seats from her work, fifth row, and we saw that these guys were studs, and they don't need to cheat to succeed. But I think if management or Alex Cora or whoever came up with the system implemented it, I think it's easy to cheat and do the wrong things if you're being directed. Anyways, that's what I think, guys. Happy Friday.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. City Boy, San Francisco. City Boy, welcome to the show. Your thoughts on the Astros cheating scandal?
Yeah, morning, fellas. I just wanted to chime in on this because I think this cheating thing is really an organizational thing, first and foremost. I also want to say, you know, I don't really want to see them stripped of World Series titles and MVPs, et cetera. You know, it's what's done is done. It's already happened. Like the Barry Bonds records that were done on drugs. I mean, it happened. It's unfortunate, but the records are what they are. But I think, you know, you really need to punish the organization and to really dissuade these teams from continuing to do this kind of thing. So, you know, I think maybe they should be disqualified from postseason play for maybe two seasons. You know, send a real message because, you know, I know it was collectively bargained that the maximum was like a $5 million fine against the organization, and it's just not enough. I mean, $5 million to these guys is pocket change. So, you know, disqualify them from postseason play for a couple years and a couple meaningless seasons will really, you know, people will demand trades. Fans won't go to games. I think that's how you really hurt these teams and make them realize that cheating just isn't worth it. Because right now, cheating is worth it. So, anyway, that's all I got for you.
No doubt. City Boy, thank you. I'm the first thing I'm doing is trying to cheat if Altuve's not getting suspended. If there's not a massive penalty coming down to the players who were involved in this, I'm trying to figure out ways to cheat because why not? What are they going to do? Right now, it looks like nothing.
See, and that's where I'm on the opposite side of that because I think that you got to realize who has a sphere of influence. So you can influence your kids to be to steal. I can go and go to the store and say, "Here, little Johnny, take that," and he'll take it right now. Your son, whatever, our kids, they'll do it because they're young and they don't know certain things. And I understand you get older, you got to change, and I get that. But it's about winning. So now you have. I think that's why the organization, you make the owner sell the team. When you do something this bad, when you're this egregious, because for now, strip other players that have nothing to do with it. So now you're trying to bring team, and now you're not going to get free agent. I think if management does the right thing, you can control that. You're supposed to be like the parent. You're supposed to be overseeing your organization. If not, if you're giving them these edges, people are going to push them. They're going
to
push it.
I think individuals have to pay as well, though. And if you find out that Altuve definitely was doing this illegally with electronic devices, he's got to be banned at least for a full season.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. For those of you who are on hold, if you want to hang tight for a little bit, we will get to you. Carmen Policy, former president and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers, in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. Joe Buck, he's on the call for the NFC Championship game. He will join us at 8:30. Mike Holmgren, The Big Show at 9:30. But for right now, we go to the phones. 95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan with us here on 95.7 The Game. Adam, good morning. I want to start with this. The Pro Football Writers Association voted John Lynch its Executive of the Year and John Harbaugh its Coach of the Year. Do you agree with those decisions?
Well, I voted in that one. So, yeah, I do, but I would tell you that it was very tough for the head coach. It took me literally 20 minutes to go through it all and to really see the decisions that were made and how they handled their job. You know, I don't look at just at record. I look at player development, time management, and all that stuff, and use of information. John Harbaugh, believe it or not, is big on analytics. He got a lot of that information. He learned how to do that in Philly under former Eagles president Joe Banner. And he's done a great job. I it's hard for me not to vote for him, but I did vote for Kyle Shanahan, I will tell you. That was my vote. And I had John Harbaugh second. So that was the only thing I disagree with. And Lynch, look, let's not forget where they were a couple years ago. They missed on the Reuben Foster pick. Didn't look good the first 2 years, and then they hit home runs not only in the last couple drafts after the Foster pick, but the free agent moves. I mean, Alexander's looked good. A couple of the other guys have looked good. The player development has been fantastic, and that has been the key here is how well the younger players have developed.
What do you look at as his finest maneuver in between the 4 and 12 year and this year? Is it Quan Alexander, that signing? Is it the Nick Bosa pick? Is it the Emmanuel Sanders trade? Are there too many to just to take off?
Yeah, Dibs, it's a bunch of them. I mean, we mentioned Bosa, obviously, but Fred Warner right now will be one of their best picks over the first 3 years. Of just understanding what that guy can do and what he'd be better at. And I remember Fred telling me that he never played middle linebacker before. I had a nice talk with him in training camp, and now you're talking about one of the better middle linebackers in the league, not just one of the better young ones. And Greenlaw looks like a player. People laughed at the Niners when they signed Sherman. Why would you want to sign an older player? He's coming off an Achilles injury. Boy, does that move work? People laughed at them when they brought Jimmy Ward back with his injury history. Look how well that move has turned out. And then, obviously, when you look at the way that they've developed this roster, and George Kittle, by the way, on offense, might be the NFL's best all-around tight end. When you look at the last 3 years, other than the Foster pick, and at least they're getting something out of Solomon Thomas, most of them have worked out, and that's why they're in the championship game, quite frankly.
Joe had some interesting numbers this morning, talking about four teams that were a 7-point underdog. In the previous years, I happened to be on one of those teams, the Tennessee Titans. I think you said, Joe, Atlanta Falcons.
Three teams previously had won at least 13 games during the regular season and then made it to the championship game only to find themselves 7-point underdogs or greater. Lowe's Titans team in 99 was one. The 98 Falcons were in there and the 1990 New York Giants as well.
Right.
Like Green Bay this weekend.
Right. So when you look at that, do you think Shanahan's aware of that he understands and letting his guys know, hey, look, this is a total. We got to take that last game and throw it completely out. You're going to have a motivated and a team that's coming in here thinking that they can upset you and beat you. You think Shanahan's aware of these numbers and all these things are out here, the narrative?
I don't know how much that is a factor, but in terms of getting respect, I don't know. We were talking earlier in the season about kind of where we thought the team was and how it looked like it was going to be better than we expected. But I don't know if the Niners have gotten as much respect as they should get. For whatever reason, I can't quite figure that out. And then you look at the team that they're playing this week in the Packers, talk about a team that has sort of outkicked their coverage. They're way better. Let's put it this way. Their record is better than they really are. I think they're kind of a fraudulent 13-3. They play very good defense, by the way. But you saw when they came in week 12, the Niners handled them so well that Aaron Rodgers got taken out of the game in the middle of the fourth quarter because it was not competitive. So hopefully now the people around the country we'll figure out how good this Niners team is. Because typically teams don't – the year before, you look at how bad they were at 4-12, and you're thinking, how could they be this good? But part of it is, as we just outlined earlier, and let's not forget that when you look at point spreads in terms of favorites and so forth, the Eagles were the only team I can remember in NFL history that every game they were the number one seed, they played all at home, and they were a dog against the Falcons and the Vikings. So it's incredible. And by the way, they went up winning the Super Bowl.
Adam Kaplan joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We'll get back to the NFC Championship in just a moment. But in the AFC Championship, it's a guy you covered for a long time in Philadelphia, Andy Reid, looking to get over the hump, looking to get to the big game. Do you think – I asked some other people this. They thought I was crazy. And it's not as if I'm trying to emphasize the point, but – once Patrick Mahomes signs for $40 million a year, it's going to be difficult to beef up the rest of the Chiefs roster with that much money dedicated to the quarterback position. So I'm wondering if this is Andy's last best chance to go grab a Super Bowl. What do you think?
No, I don't, because you've got Tyreek Hill on a contract. As long as he doesn't get in trouble, he'll be fine. He's just an incredible football player. Kelsey's going to be there. He's up for renewal. His contract's not over, but they certainly could redo that. They've got a very good young running back who's really underrated, Damian Williams. Most of their offensive line is signed long-term. Duvernay, Tardif, the right guard. Fisher signed long-term. And, Joe, by the way, there's a way you could structure it. So you could just make the money. You give them a large signing bonus, but you could structure it where it's not going to kill you against the cap until down the road. There are ways you can get through it. And LeSean McCoy is most certainly not going to be back, and he may retire. We'll have to see what happens. Yeah, the average per season will be $40 to $45 million. I'd said a year ago that based on the way with the cap and then with the new CBA, if Mahomes kept this up, it would certainly be well over. It could be well over 40. And don't forget, he's got Lee Steinberg as an agent, who's the – you're talking about the superstar agent who Steve Young's agent and many other big-time quarterbacks. And that's going to be fun to see what happens with Mahomes' contract, because it's certainly going to be historic.
This free agent quarterback class is so deep and varied. How much does Ryan Tannehill stand to make, even though his numbers have been quite paltry in the postseason?
Yeah, I think – well, they're not asking him to throw 14.5 attempts per game. The thought around the league is this. One cap manager gave me a comparable I thought was pretty good. You see Nick Foles' contract. It's a two-year structure where – now, I know the difference is – when you look at Nick Foles, the difference is he was really not a full-time starter, where Tannehill clearly is going to be for the future. I think I could see him getting $20 million a year from the Titans. It's just because of the way that they structure their offense. But they're not going to let him walk because they need to have a quarterback. Mariota clearly is not going to be back. It's just a matter of how deep they want to go. I think
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.